I wonder if you watch any of those television programmes which begin with a kind of recap of what's happened in the few last episodes, just in case you missed them. It always says something like, previously on Homeland. That's my favourite at the moment. Who all watches Homeland on a Sunday evening? Fantastic television. It always begins, previously on Homeland. Well, here we are, previously in the story. We're 5 weeks in, and I thought it would be worth taking a couple of moments just to remind ourselves of where we have been so far on this journey. It all begins, of course, at the very beginning of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God. Nothing else. Just that. In the beginning, God. And God brought all things into being. Folks, whatever the mechanics of that were, let us as Christians never, ever back off from this great truth that God is the creator of everything that we see. Not least, of course, human beings. I love this verse. He breathed into him the breath of life. The breath of life. This is what we have within us. It's not just about existing. It's about living in the image of God with his very life in us. But then, of course, very shortly afterwards, we come to what is known as the fall, when this man and this woman, human beings, turn their backs on God, ignore his commands, and decide to do things their own way. And following that, there is the opening of the eyes, there is the shame of it all. And what was supposed to be God and his people existing in perfect harmony is forever at this point broken. And the man and the woman, they hide from God in their shame. And so comes the separation. We were made to be with God. But the fall leads to separation. We are no longer living in harmony with the Lord our God. And then as we went on into the following chapters, we began to unfold the story of God's plan to put right that which was broken. God's plan to fix things. And it all started with one man, Abraham. And the promise that was made to Abraham, that a great nation will come from you. The call to Abraham and his obedient response. And thereafter, we read of Abraham's faith. Faith in God. Folks, this is still how it works. Folks, faith in God. Primarily for Abraham, his faith that he would bear a son through his wife Sarah. And so it was, even though they were in their old years. And so we had Isaac. And so we had Jacob. And so we had Joseph. And so 400 years later, we had Moses. And there's the catch-up. From the Garden of Eden all the way through to Moses. And as we were saying last week, though Moses was perhaps the least qualified person imaginable, God took hold of Moses and God used Moses to lead the Israelite people out of their captivity in Egypt and toward the Promised Land. Over the Red Sea, of course, and then into the desert wilderness. This was not to be a straightforward journey, straight to the Promised Land. And so to begin with, they head away to the south from their route, and towards the mountain of Sinai, the mountain of the Lord. I guess they had no sat-nav in these days. They wandered somewhat aimlessly for some years. Elaine's asked for a sat-nav for her Christmas. And that's just for getting around our broth. She has absolutely no sense of direction at all. And if you were to see the route that the Israelites took towards the Promised Land, you would think these folk had no sense of direction at all. Even though God was going ahead of them. Folks, the shortest route isn't always the one to take. Especially if learning needs to take place along the way. Mount Sinai, of course, is famous because there Moses received the tablets of stone upon which were written the Ten Commandments. Are some of you old enough to remember Charlton Heston and the film The Ten Commandments? I think it was 1958 it was released. I watched it this week. It's dated. But it was an epic film, there's no question of it. The giving and receiving of the Ten Commandments. These commandments were, if I can put it this way, the set of rules for the covenant. The covenant that God was going to establish between himself and his people. Almost as if God was saying, I will be your God. Here's what you have to do. And folks, though this code for living is ancient indeed, it still represents a way of life that is relevant today and in every age. All 10 of the commandments are first and foremost a response to what God has done for us. Because of what God has done for us, recognizing his work. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. This is what God has done. He has delivered his people. He has redeemed his people. And the commandments are the response of the people. How we will live because of what God has done for us. And of course, first and foremost, it's about putting him as number one priority in our lives. The first four of the commandments are how this is to be done. They are about our relationship with God. It all must begin there, with our relationship with God. You cannot have God as an afterthought. You cannot have God as a kind of add-on in your life. He demands priority. Demands that you put him first above all else. I hope that you are seriously challenged by that this morning. Just that one thing of putting God first in your life. I know I am. And we should be day by day by day challenged to put him first. The remaining six of the commandments are about how we relate one to another. The key here is about relationships. Our relating to one another, just as the first four were about our relating to God. When we are in right relationship with God, which is having him first, and when we are living according to these next of the six commandments, then we are in right relationship with other people. And being right with God and right with other people is the only way in which you will find something akin to peace in your heart. if God is not first, and if you are not relating properly and rightly to other people, you will have no peace. I'm not going to go through these commandments in detail today. That's for you as you read the story through the week, to reflect deeply as to what they're saying about your life. But it is good that they are on the screen this morning, because these are not out of date. In this secular world in which we live, this modern world, whatever it might be, we have taken them and we have changed them into what we might describe as suggestions. They were never meant that way. These are commands. And when we ignore them, we do so at our peril. And when corporately societies ignore these commands, watch as society itself begins to unravel. That's what we are living with. Well, as the story has it, Moses has been to the top of the mountain, and there he has met with God. We might say he had a mountaintop experience. Story tells us that when he came back down, he was radiant. I love that word. He was radiant, having been in God's presence. And the rest of the community, the people, they know there is something different about Moses. It was clear, in other words, that he had had an encounter with the living God. I just wonder, and I imagine to myself, if this was so of all of us, as we went from here on Sundays, having been in the presence of God as Moses was, and as we got close to God in our personal lives, and then we're out into the world, radiant, having met him, what impact would that have in the world? If there was that radiance across us that was tangible for others to see. Now, once Moses had shared with the people and revealed to them what God had given him by way of the commandments and the rules for living, with one voice, the whole community agrees that they will accept and they will live by these commands. With one voice they declare, "We will do as the Lord commands us to do." But see how very quickly, almost immediately, they renege on their side of the bargain. Moses, who we read again was on the mountain with God, has to go down because of the sinfulness of the people, because they have turned away from God's commands, having only received them. Their faithfulness is short-lived. And this you need to know. Turning away from God's commands is exactly the same thing as turning away from God himself. You cannot say that you are following God if you are not following his commands. And so Moses is ordered by God down the mountain because the people have so very quickly turned away. And this, folks, let me tell you, is the history of humanity. God's abiding faithfulness, our falling away, our faithlessness. This is our collective story. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say to another person, that's the story of your life. This is the story of our lives. God being faithful, yet our turning away. Why? Why is it like that? Even right here, close to the very beginning, why is it like this? Well, even right here at the very beginning, we find an understanding of why it is like this. A very telling verse indeed. Moses and his brother Aaron cry out to God, you know how prone these people are to evil. It's as if we are biased, as if we lean naturally in that direction. Folks, it's not that God made us that way with intention. It's the result of the fall. We go back to the early chapters in the Garden of Eden, chapter 1 of our story. The fall, the turning away from God. This fall has affected every single one of us. It is the human condition to which we are all subject. Some 1,300 years after this happened, it was the Apostle Paul who expressed it most brilliantly of all, in a way I think we can all relate to. I have the desire to do what is good. I know what is good, but I can't carry it out. We know what we're supposed to live like. We know what the rules are. We even would want to live by them, and yet so often the opposite seems to happen. I know what I want to do, how I should live, and yet I don't. Paul understood exactly the human condition. Having the law, these commandments that Moses was given, it doesn't help us to deal with the problem, which is our sinfulness. If anything, it just highlights the problem even more, as Paul himself came to see. You can't deal with the problem of your sinfulness by the law. There's only one solution, as Paul himself found. But that would be getting ahead of ourselves in the story. So let's leave it hanging for another week. The amazing grace of God is that despite this, despite our continually falling short and falling away from Him, despite our seeming inability to follow His commands, He invites us day by day back to Him, into this living relationship with Him. Though we fail as we do, He still invites us to choose Him and to live with Him and for Him. And this is a story all through the Old Testament. God's call to the people, God's invitation, and they're falling away. And so it was that right there at the beginning, despite their sinfulness from the beginning, Moses still stood before the Israelites and gave them opportunity to choose. To choose life. Who's for the Lord? Moses challenged them. And the same challenge The same invitation still rings out to us day by day by day. Not just once in your life, because you will and have fallen away, but again and again and again by His grace. The voice of the Lord comes to us and says, "Who is on my side? Who will choose for me?" Will we sing together?
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will set the king? Who will be His helpers? Other lights to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the by Thy hand redemption, by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are thine.
Were you singing from your heart? Did you mean it? As Moses challenged the Israelites, who is on the Lord's side? So he challenges us today, who is on the Lord's side? And what will your answer be? Will you live for Him and give your life to Him and live by His commands? The conclusion to this chapter at Mount Sinai is Moses again being before the Lord and very much humbled before God and very much aware of his dependence upon God and yet longing for more of God. Moses prays, Moses cries out to the Lord, "Teach me your ways so that I may know you." Folks, if you made this your daily prayer, if in humility you were daily on your knees before God, you could do a lot worse than copy this prayer of Moses. Teach me your ways, Lord, that I might know you more. Because to know God's ways and to live God's ways is how we get to know God more. You will not discover who God is. You will not grow into a closer relationship with God until you are living His ways. So Moses says, "Teach me your ways." In other words, that I can live them and thus know you more. And as we know God and live His ways, look at this. We will be led onto level ground. There are rough and rocky paths through life. The one who chooses the way of the Lord will be led to level ground. Amen.